Hey neighbor.
Hey neighbor.
I'm Court.
And I'm Em.
And this is our podcast, My Favorite Neighbor.
A podcast where a Canadian and an American come together to discuss our perspectives.
We're back. And that finally makes sense because we took a break. Hiatus? Hadeus?
Did you say hadeus?
Yeah. I never said the word out loud. And I was like, I think it's hiatus.
It's hiatus.
Well, here we are.
That's it. That's the title.
We are back.
Hadeus.
Hades. We're Hades.
Hades.
Thor?
Wait, no. No. Title here. We rule the underworld. Not clickbait. Emotional. Real.
Funny.
Not a prank.
Are we posting a YouTube video or a podcast?
Both now.
Suddenly. This content is quite worth suddenly. It.
I don't even know how we'd begin to film a YouTube video of us recording the podcast, considering we're not, you know, in the same country.
I know, and considering that, like, just like the way our setups are, I just don't think I can make mine visually appealing it's visually appealing for me to look at my setup, but the other way around it just doesn't work. And that means I would have to look nice as well.
Oh, true.
And sometimes I'd have to wear more clothes.
Mood, honestly. So, same.
I don't think that's going to work out yet. I'm not ready to make that much of a commitment.
We're not committed enough yet to wear pants.
Yeah, that would take a great toll on my mental health. There it is. I got it.
Segue.
Nailed it. So today, we're going to talk about pants. Today, we're going to talk about mental health. And I know we're laughing because that's who we are. And that's how we get through trauma. But yes. We just kind of want to take time. We've had a lot of great, fun times doing some Halloween episodes. So we thought, why not reel it back in? Reel it. Whatever we're doing, back
reel
in.
It.
Reel it back in. Or wheel it. It's your choice.
Wheelbarrow it back in.
I don't think I can say that word. Wheelbarrow it back in and make a serious episode again. So, yeah, we're going to talk about all the things nitty-gritty, dark and dirty about mental health. So, again, trigger warnings. If things like suicide, anything related to really bad mental health, deaths of family members, mm-hmm. stuff like that will trigger you, this may not be the episode for you. But we're not doing it to trigger anyone. We want to help people who maybe been through similar experiences or maybe feeling the same way. We don't want anybody to think they're alone. We want to offer resources. So mm-hmm. if you think you can withstand it, then please stay and maybe we can all bond together. But if you can't, no hard feelings. We will see you another week.
Yeah, like always. We have, of course, zero continuity in these episodes. We don't
exactly.
even have any continuity within the episodes, let alone between episodes.
I think, like, we're starting to get very few inside jokes that are on the podcast. Sometimes they appear, and that's the only connection you'll get. We offer a variety, and by that we mean it connects no way whatsoever, other than it's Emily and I every week blabbing into
it's
a
like
microphone.
It's like the DCEU. They want to make continuity and then they realize that movie was shit and they just have to pull it.
Just forget the last one and start all over. And that's our goal. No, our goal is just to offer a variety so that we can appeal to you guys more. So maybe you're not feeling something one day or appeal to more listeners. We only talk what we know about though, so we're not going to probably get into like sports unless the Raptors win another year, then I'll talk about it, but that's not happening, so we'll just leave it there.
What are the Raptors?
I know, Emily. They won the NBA last year. They won the championship.
Oh, Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, the Canadian basketball team. I love how I said they won the NBA. That's how you can tell that I'm definitely not a sports person and definitely just like Canadian teams winning.
They won the NBA.
It's
there's
theirs
no NBA
now.
It's theirs.
We have.
I feel like we should do a sports episode just to hear ourselves flailing.
There was a score there.
They did a thing. It was a good thing. Or that was a bad thing, apparently.
Most of the time when I watch, like, I do like to watch basketball, and I didn't know that. I only started watching the Raptors started to do well. And so I was like, I'm going to watch this because I don't want to miss out on history. Like, that was my fear, was, like, not really that I don't know. I want to see history happen. We're already so off topic, but I'm going to go back to a story. One time, a long time ago in the Olympics, it was hockey in Canada. I think it was Canada against the USA in, like, a gold Olympics finale. And it was really, really close, and my family had got upset. And I don't care about sports, so I wasn't upset. So I stayed seated on the couch, and my family had turned the other way. And Sidney Crosby scored the winning goal for Canada to get the gold medal in the Olympics. And I saw it, and I got to tell them what happened. And I was like, there was a stick, and he hit it, and there was a net. And my family's like, why did she see it? And so from that moment, I was like, that was history. And I guess that's why I like watching them. So when the Raptors started doing really well, I was like, I don't want to miss out on history. So I watched every game. And I did get to see history happen. What was my point? Oh, yes. My only commentary normally is, like, I'm like, oh, did he get a haircut? Like, if I make any commentary to anybody that I'm watching it with, I'm like, ooh, those are nice shoes.
Is that Blake Griffin? Is that The Rock? He was in that one movie.
Oh, I'll be like, aw, Fred Van Bleek looks like such a teddy bear. Why am I allowed to? I'm like, wow, that guy's really tall. He should be on the team. And I'll be like a guy sitting on the court side. So, for everybody else's mental health, I'm not allowed to watch sports. I'm tying it back because I did get a little off topic there. I get the segues in so fast, so good. And then I get excited and just, we get off topic.
Well, the funniest thing is you get the segues in, and then immediately we get off topic because we're like, that was a good segue.
And then it reminds us of something else. Well, we're talking about big wins, to slip it in. We could just talk about how Biden is going to become president. That's pretty exciting for you. I know he's not, like,
it is
number one, but he is not negative 100.
He's not a fascist, and that's all we can ask for at this point.
Yeah, I mean, basically what we're asking for was anybody but not Donald Trump. So
exactly.
That's a win, and hopefully he can learn things and we can make some progression. I know people are like, why does it matter? Mm-hmm. Why does Canada care? But it's like, USA is our neighbor and, like, one of our biggest like partners in trades and stuff, and we have so many agreements together that, like, it impacts us. Like, our borders, the pandemic and stuff like that. So we are really rooting for you guys. Like, we're so proud of you.
I think the entire world was rooting for us.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, if you guys fuck this up, this is your last chance, guys. Last chance. Like, we've counted to three. One. If you don't do it by we get to three. My favorite thing, though, was, like, when I was on TikTok. Number one, the most searched thing that day was how to move, like, to Canada. And I'm like, beautiful. And two, I'd see TikToks that are like, when Trump wins president, I'm moving to Canada, and I'm like, welcome, come on, guys, there's room for all of you. But then there's other ones that are like, when Biden wins, I'm moving to Canada, and I'm like, if you don't like Biden compared to Trump, you're not gonna like Trudeau. If you want a wall built, you are not gonna want Trudeau. Like, oh, you want the oil rigs in Alberta? Okay, but we still have a prime minister.
Well, the funniest thing is, like, they're like, if Trump doesn't win, I move into Canada. It's like, Canada is more progressive than
the US. That's what I'm like, what? If you don't like Trump, what are you going to like here? Because we're worse. I mean, we're better, but we're worse. Like, we're not better in every way. But our prime minister is a little more open-minded than Trump. And, like, we don't have as much, like, things that Trump supporters like. Like, we don't want walls. Trudeau's pretty pro-immigration. And, like, we don't have guns everywhere. So I just don't think Trump supporters would have a good time.
Like, a big thing, too, is a lot of them are homophobic. And, like, same-sex marriage has been legal there for years.
Exactly. Like, and, years. Like, I'm not really sure where Trump supporters stand on the weed thing either, but...
The funniest thing is, I feel like that's the biggest divide between Trump supporters, because a lot of them either heavily smoke weed or it's the devil's lettuce and it'll make you sleep with African Americans.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I feel like that's the two camps and there's not really much in between for
Trump
supporters.
That's how we separate and divide them. Conquer and divide. Divide and conquer.
Conquer and divide.
This is me.
We conquer first and then
divide them up.
Separate it.
Yeah. This is why I'm great at video games. You don't have to divide them, you just conquer and you can divide them after. It's fine. So now we're fully
you don't have to.
10 minutes in and not on topic. But I did want to talk, like, give you guys that moment.
Now my mind is about video games. God damn it, Courtney.
Sorry, bring it back. So your mental health the day of the election. How were you feeling?
I had gone through so many, like, mental health lows throughout the course of this entire year that, like, the day of the election, I was just numb.
Yeah, a lot of people were, like, I know, like, streamers and stuff, like, I can't be on stream because I don't want, like, to hear the bad news, or I'm too anxious, or I'm too nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy, because they were like, we're nervous for our lives, you're nervous for your taxes that you don't even fall into the tax bracket for.
Wait, were they, like, nervous because they didn't want their taxes raised?
They're like, if Biden wins, people who make over $400,000 a year have to pay heavier taxes.
Okay, and they fucking should.
And that, yeah, but the people that are worried about that don't even make that much. It's like...
Yeah. Well, also, like, if you're, like, making over $400,000, like, you should be paying more taxes. That's just simple
math. And then it's
math.
Like, the other people are worried that they can't get married, that they're going to get shot on the street, that their identity is going to be illegal or erased. And it's like...
Literally...
So it's like, it's not even comparable, the anxiety that some groups of people were feeling over others.
Well, literally, like, the first, like, when Trump got elected in 2016, I woke up, saw the news, and started crying. And, like, my RA was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, Trump, I was like, Trump won, and I'm scared for, like, everyone I know. Because, you know, I'm friends with, like, a lot of LGBTQ people, like, plus people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously, I was also fearful for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I just woke up and I started bawling because I didn't, like, I knew a lot of people hated, like, LGBTQ plus people, and, like, obviously there's a lot of racists in America still, mm-hmm. like, we can't hide that, but, like, it just terrified me that, like, there were that enough people to vote him into office.
Yeah. And that many people feel that strongly about it.
Mm-hmm.
How did you cope this week? Or did you cope? Or what happened?
I was feeling real rough the first day, because obviously a lot of Trump supporters went and voted in person, so their accounts got counted immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they were still waiting on mail-in votes. So I saw the, like, red just covering...
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. pretty much, and I got real nervous because I'm like, oh no, is he gonna win again? Like, all this shit he's done, everything he's proven, like, he's gonna win again. And then I saw a tweet actually, and it was like, just remember, Pennsylvania looks red now, but they haven't counted millions of mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my god, you're fucking right. Most of these states are probably gonna flip. And that, like, was what really, like, pushed me forward and kept me going.
Oh, that's good that you had that little bit of hope. I'm always, like, afraid to get my hopes up, but then mm-hmm. that's only sometimes you have at times, so I don't know.
Yeah, no. If I ever let my hopes completely go, I'm pretty sure I won't be on this planet anymore.
Yeah, that's why hopes are a little bit a good thing. A little bit bad when they get crushed, but it's good because it mm-hmm. also holds you in a certain place. And sometimes that's all you
well,
have.
Like, mm-hmm. Like, it bothers me so much when people are like, why do you have hope for this? Or why do you have hope for the world? Or, like, the world is pointless. Like, it's not going to change at all. So why do you fight? And I'm like, because if I don't fight, I'm, one, going to feel like I'm a piece of shit. Because I have privilege. And I should be using that privilege for the better. I should be using that privilege to try to get every, like, even people out. Like, based on the color of their skin, based on their gender, like, that sort of thing. Like, obviously, I don't have as much privilege as, like, a straight white man.
Yeah.
But, like, I am as could be straight passing. Like, obviously, I'm in a heterosexual relationship right now, technically.
But that doesn't erase anything. Like, girls, if you're bi, just because you're dating a man doesn't mean you're not bi. It just means that you could pass as a straight person when holding hands with him.
Exactly. anyway, so
you matter. Your identity is here. Sorry. Continue.
I'm a white, straight passing, like, woman with, like, we're not, like, my family hasn't been, like, well off, but, like, we're definitely more well off than a lot of America. And so it's, like, I have all these privileges that I was born with and, like, all that sort of stuff. So it's, like, I feel an obligation to, like, use it to try to further something. And people will be, like, well, like, Black Lives Matter isn't affecting you, or, like, you're not an immigrant, so why do you care about this reform and everything like that? And I'm like, because I'm a decent fucking person, and you should care too, you motherfucker.
Yeah, number one, like who knows what your group of friends is, but even let's say all of your friends are also like white passing, straight passing people, do you just not care about other people then? Because you don't know, like, I think about other countries and I get sad, like, thinking about the way they have to live and stuff like that. And a lot of times I'm very, very thankful. Like, I'm like, what's the chance that I was born and raised in Canada? Like, out of all the countries, like, I feel pretty solid about my country. And, like, it's not a, I'm not very, like, patriotic. It's more that I've just never felt really, really scared for my life in any situation. Being that I was, I'm born, I'm white, I'm pretty straight. Okay.
I'm going to have to question. Pretty straight.
Okay. We don't know what I am, but I'm dating a boy.
Right now I'm straight. Right now, who knows?
Yeah. I'm straight passing, and I don't really share any, like, and, like, people don't walk down the street and automatically, like, I was raised low income, which is, like, if you take that and put that in, it is, like, a disadvantage, but people walking down the street don't always know that you're low income, so I can be passing as any income in a situation, you know what I mean? Like, people don't make that assumption because of my skin color that I'm automatically low income and stuff like that. But I've always felt really grateful that I was, like, born into this life. So I'm like, I want to make everybody to be able to feel, like, wake up and feel that grateful, I guess.
Well, it's like,
not saying that life is easy, because there's definitely been some hard times where I'm like, why is this my life? But just based on, I guess, exterior circumstances of the world.
Well, there's some people that it's like, they also, just to make them not, like, not look as, like, impoverished or low income, like, they'll spend money on nice clothes just so people won't look at them and be like, oh, they're poor, ew, like, that sort of thing. And it's just like, you shouldn't feel the need to do that, but also, like, our clothes shouldn't define who we are. Like, you shouldn't be defined buy your clothes on to, like, decide how you're treated by certain people.
Yeah, it's like, it's very, like, it's a weird line, because, like, I know that there's programs that, like, let's say you're really very broke and you need to go get a job, but there's no way that you could look presentable because you can't afford dress pants or nice shoes and stuff like that. So there's a program I know in some places in Canada, some, it's like, I think it's based on the municipality. So you can go there and they'll, like, go through building your resume and stuff like that. And if once you pass the program, they give you a certain amount of money. Like, you have to go buy the clothes, and then if you bring the receipts back, they'll refund you. But the thing is that's great. That's perfect. But there's still people that don't have the money to put it up front to get it back.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's like, you have to, like, I understand there's a certain amount of, like, them trying to make sure people don't abuse the system, but also, like, you could just, like, have people who, like, go shopping with them and, like, they pay for it, but, like, they make sure they're getting stuff that's for work.
Yeah, or, like, you could have, like, a deal, especially because it's municipality. Like, I'm from a very small town, so they could even have a deal with a business like some sort of coupon deal or something like that, like, because it's very small towny, so everybody pretty much knows everybody, right? Like, so a place, mm-hmm. obviously you'd get trickier in cities and stuff like that, but I don't know. Or yeah, just like take them all shopping on the same day and you buy them and make sure that they get them and you don't give them the receipt so they can't return them, and if they go and sell them at a thrift store, fine, like, they won. But like, it's like, these people probably wouldn't be going to go through this program to get a job if they weren't serious about it, because there's other, like, there's other easy mm-hmm. routes to get money, to be on, like, yeah. Ontario Works and stuff like that. Not that it's easy to get on that. I'm just saying, like, or sell drugs or, like, whatever. But, like, people that are more serious about getting, like, these jobs and going through building a resume and applying, because, like, that's what you have to do with this program. Like, they, you have to go in multiple days a week. They probably aren't going to go waste some money on something else. So I feel like there's a way to work around it. But I'm not, I was never in that position. My mom was like a single mom. We were very, very broke. I didn't know how broke we were at the time because I was a kid. But just like mm-hmm. looking back now, I realized how broke we were and how well of a job my mom did making sure that I never like really had to worry. Like, I should have been worried had I known how broke we were. But my mom hid it so well, and the fact that I never missed out on like a meal mm-hmm. or anything like that. And, like, always had, like, clean clothes and stuff like that. So I never had mm-hmm. the experience of, like, missing out on something. But my mom, like, if I, the mental toll it probably took on her to make sure that we didn't feel that. Like, even though we were that broke, it's mm-hmm. probably a very big mental toll on her. As I got older, like, I especially didn't care when I was younger because I definitely didn't know. But as yeah. you get older and, like, you... It starts to affect your mental health, number one, because, like, you're growing up, and that's something you become concerned about, because you're like, does everybody know that, like, we're broke, and, like, I can't keep up with the Johnsons, like, I don't have an iPad, I don't have this, I don't have that, mm-hmm. and then, like, so definitely that, I don't know if it impacted, like, impact my anxiety or my depression more, so if you don't know me, hi, I'm Courtney, I have anxiety, and I have depression, and I think that it's, like, which a lot of people do, so I don't think it's an unheard of fact, but just for me, I couldn't imagine not having one of them, because as weird as it sounds, it's like kind of keeps me balanced most of the time. Obviously, there's days where one severely outweighs the other and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. But like, I always like, even I told my mom, I would joke with my mom, and it's not a very light joke, that like, without my anxiety, I probably would not be here today. And that's because my anxiety makes me not be able to stop functioning. Like, there was times when I was really depressed, especially like, so growing up, realizing like how poor we were, I lost my dad when I was like 14, so that was very hard for me. So I definitely, there was times where I did not want to live, and I know, so trigger warning. So I would get very overwhelmed with depression, and I would, my mom was pretty good, like she's old fashioned, so she could never fully understand mental health, but she understood that I was feeling these things that I was saying I was feeling. So
yeah, my
she was never like, oh, I get it, but she's like, I believe you. So that meant a lot, but she mm-hmm. couldn't relate to me on some levels, especially because I, looking at it, I probably seemed a little nutty. I don't want to say that word, but I'd be like telling my mom, like I'd be bawling my eyes out, like hyperventilating, telling my mom that I want to die, and she'd be like, okay, we're gonna take you to the hospital, we're gonna get you the help you need. But then I'd tell her, no, we can't go to the hospital because I can't, like I have school tomorrow, I have an assignment, like I need to do this. And she'd be like, well, what do you need to do? And I was like, I need to die and make sure I die. Because, like, I can't commit suicide and mess up. Because if I mess up, mm-hmm. I'm going to miss this time in my life that I can't make up for. Like, assignments, work, this, that. Like, mm-hmm. life doesn't stop. So I need to, like, I can't take the time to kill myself, essentially. And so that probably seemed a little weird to my mom. But it was very, mm-hmm. like, overwhelming for me to be like, I can't be here, but I can't not be here. But I'm very thankful because, like, my anxiety has given me, like, it runs me crazy some days and overwhelms me a lot. But at the same time, it's made me value, I guess, my life, because I'm like, life doesn't stop. And that's kind of maybe how I, mm-hmm. I just didn't want to be in that moment, I guess. I didn't want my life to stop. I just didn't want to live through that part. And I guess that was my, like, body's way of, like, letting me know, like, no, keep going. But it's like very tricky to like understand as a teenager when you're feeling all of those things. And like, who's to say, like, I didn't have access to, number one, we were pretty broke, so I didn't have access to like an empty garage or anything. I didn't have access to a car. I don't have access to drugs or alcohol. I didn't have access to guns. So like, to me, there was also no easy way for that to happen. So like, I just didn't know how to make it happen, even if I wanted, like, was going to think about it. Because, like, if you type it online, which I have before, it just tells you to take a bunch of, like, well, number one, it says to take a bunch of pills, but if you fuck up, that you're going to be in a lot of pain and it's going to be terrible. Or two, like, go into your garage and, like, do a car exhaust and stuff like that. And I just don't have access to any of that thing. So I was like, well, I'm screwed. But honestly, I'm really thankful that I did not have access to a lot of those things, because who knows? And I am very thankful that my mom was with me for that entire time, because it's really hard on her too, probably, on top of keeping us afloat, to deal with my mental health, and on top of that, my sister's mental health, because I think our mental health affected everybody in our family. So, like, if I was having a bad day, my sister would have a bad day type thing.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, there was a night in high school where I, like, broke down and just, like, was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't struggle with it alone, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. I just broke down and I, like, called one of my, like, I was supposed to hang out with one of my friends, and they made plans with me despite having, like, plans with the, like, they had plans with a school group, and, like, they made plans with me anyway and, like, told me a time that they'd be there, and, like, they just weren't. And it was, like, hours after, and they still weren't done, and, like, all that sort of stuff.
So it's making you feel kind of more alone.
Yeah, it was making me feel, because, like, she was known for flaking on plans as it was, so it just made me feel like she didn't think I was important. Mm-hmm. Which, like, she's a selfish asshole anyway, so, like, I shouldn't have... I just had very few choices. Mm-hmm. Small town life. but, like, so, like, she was had plans and was, like doing, like, her theater stuff and all that sort of stuff. And I just, like, it got me spiraling, I guess. Which, like, yeah. I just started spiraling pretty much. And, like, I tried to call my other friend who was also at the theater plans, but, you know, didn't make plans with me because she knew the theater thing would take all night. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to call my other friend, and, like, her phone was dead, so then I called the friend that was supposed to be hanging out with me, and she answered, and she's like, hello, and I'm like, I just need you to give the phone to her, like, give the phone to the other person, like, that sort of thing. And I'm just like, I just need to talk to this other person, like, I don't want to talk to you right now. And, like, she took offense to that, and I'm like, you are the one who fucking stood me up and led me to this spiral. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking care if I'm offending you right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to fucking talk to you because you led me to this. Mm-hmm. but, like, yeah, no, I, like, broke down, and, like, you know, my mom had become pretty hyper aware after my brother committed suicide. Mm-hmm. That, like, of, like, our mental health, and she's like, if you ever need me to, like, make an appointment for you, I will. Like, I want to make sure that what Corey did doesn't happen to other people, like, other kids in the family. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just walked up to her that night bawling my eyes out after the friend that I did want to talk to had called me down and was like, go talk to your mom, like, go let her know what's happening, like, you need to talk to her. Mm-hmm. You need to have her make an appointment for you. And so I just went upstairs and I just started bawling. Mm-hmm. And like I'm just like, I need you to make the appointment for me. Like, I need you to make the appointment. And, like, I don't think she really understood what I was going on about.
Yeah.
But, like, she was just like, okay, I'll make an appointment for you. Like, we'll get you in to see someone. Yeah, but honestly, if I think my brother hadn't killed himself, my mom wouldn't have believed me and just would told me to walk it off or something like that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, because before that, I don't even think she really believed that depression was a thing, even though she had had depression before and she had had postpartum, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she just didn't believe it was a thing. But she also supports Trump, so what do you believe? Yeah. What do you expect?
had your brother, like, come out saying that he was depressed and stuff like that or anything, and then she didn't do anything? Or there was no, like, chance for her to even not acknowledge it?
I don't think there was a chance for her to not acknowledge it, but then again, I asked to read his suicide note, and she conveniently didn't know where it was, so I'm assuming he had called her out in those in his suicide note, and she didn't want people reading that because she realized that her parenting method was probably partially the cause of him having such a deep depression and wanting to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm. And then do you think she was better with you guys or no?
I think she was better, but solely for the reason that she didn't want people to, like, she didn't want us offing ourselves and make her look like a bad parent. Mm-hmm. Literally, after junior year of college, like, I wasn't doing well. I didn't like any of my classes. I didn't like any of my major, but, like, I had so much anxiety about, like, talking to her about it that I just, like, was like, I can't. I can't do this. And, like, I literally was out of college and, like, just wasn't signing up for the next semester before I was like, I didn't do well in my classes. I don't want to do this major. All this sort of stuff. And I'm just like, I feel super depressed and anxious all the time and all this sort of stuff. And she turned to me and she's like, well, I think your anxiety and depression would be okay if you'd found a church.
Oh my god, no.
And I'm like, that's not how that fucking works, but okay. Do you think just Jesus magically solves problems? Because...
yeah, that doesn't work like that. I think that some people... like, I don't think in any way that religion can solve anxiety and depression and stuff like that, or any illness. Mm-hmm. I do think that certain people can find solace in having somebody to talk to.
Yes.
But I'm just not that person.
Like,
and also because I know, like, when I was feeling that, like, I'm not religious at all, but when I was feeling at my lowest of low and I did pray to Jesus, that nothing happened. So I would pray for Jesus to help take away the pain, help me give strength to fight. And yes, I'm here, so some may say he did give you the strength, you just didn't know. But I needed a sign in that moment, and I needed, like, to not feel alone at times, and there was, like, it doesn't give you that mm-hmm. solace back. For me, personally.
Like, yeah. Like, it's...
So, did your mom make you an appointment, or was she just saying that at the
yes,
time?
Yes, she did.
Okay, sorry, I just need a clarification.
No, yeah. Yeah, no, she didn't make me an appointment. you know how I had been indoctrinated my entire mm-hmm. life? She made me an appointment with a Christian therapist who also attempted to indoctrinate me.
Perfect. Just what we wanted. Just what we needed. I think that...
icing on the cake.
Because you're also from a small town. Like, that's one thing we definitely mm-hmm. bond over. One thing that's very hard in a small town, too, is finding therapists. Because you don't have a lot of options. If there's some yeah. sort of personal thing, like, let's say your parents work at that office, so you can't go there now, or whatever, like, confidentiality break of line, or... mm-hmm. You can't afford a therapist because not everybody has insurance that covers it.
Yes.
I didn't have insurance. I grew up broke, so even in Canada, like, so the thing is in Canada, though, they do have free therapists. So I'm not going to say that we aren't lucky. Do they have free therapists in USA? It depends where, like, on your college campus or, like, nowhere? Hospitals, clinics, or no?
I think you still technically pay for the ones on the college campus. Like, you still have to do insurance mm-hmm. through them. But they're just on campus. But, like, no, there's no free therapist that I've really heard of. Like, mm-hmm. the only time you get, like, quote-unquote free therapy is when you're actually in a mental hospital. But, like, obviously that's just, like, included in your
hospital bill
fees
yeah.
for staying. Yeah.
Yeah. I
for
think
staying at the hospital.
I think Canada's mental health system is very broken. So I think it is very, very broken. So I don't think it's any better than anybody else's. It's just that we do have some options, but they aren't great. And I'm gonna, number one, this past week I read an article about a student committing suicide at U of T, which, for people that don't know, is University of Toronto. just because that's probably not something that rolls off the tongue for most people if you're not from Toronto. And they're fighting to get, like, better mental health systems on college campuses because they just suck ass. They say they're there for you, to support you, to help you through, like, money, learning, friends, all that, and they're not there. It's so hard to get hold of them. They're not very good when you do. Like, there's not enough for the amount of students, stuff like that. So I know that there's a petition and stuff like that that the students at the University of Toronto started for change at their school and other schools, I think, in Canada, that they just want to see better mental health systems, which does matter. When my dad passed away, I went to a free therapist because that's all the choice I had. And I went to, so it was through the school, so my high school, I was 14, so like grade 9. And then, so I went through the school, it's a free therapist, and they basically, they sucked. It wasn't like a guidance counselor, that's a very big misconception, a guidance counselor would never deal with something like that. This is a professional, like, this is a person from a firm that's brought in on certain days to do, like, pro bono work. So it's very different, like, in TV shows, I know they show, like, guidance counselors helping students and stuff like that. That wasn't the case here. Our guidance counselors just helped us with our course selection. The therapist helps you with your therapy. And I remember I was telling her about my dad. And the one thing is that it is a small town. So for the most part, I'm going to know somebody remotely who I'm talking to. So I did know that this was one of the students' moms, which made me feel slightly uncomfortable. Because for whatever reason, if she decided to break confidentiality, a fellow student could know my entire life or whatever I'm saying. And then two, she knew my sister very well as well, and me and my sister both went to her. So she couldn't, I fully believe that she kept her confidentiality like under tack, but I don't think she could separate my sister and me in sessions. I think she tied us together, and whatever we said, like she kind of tied it together, because I remember telling her about how an incident with my dad, how I was feeling very alone, and how I felt like my sister was getting a little bit more support than I was. And that I felt like I needed a little bit more support to, like, I feel like I don't need more support than my sister. I wanted equivalent amount of support. And she said to me, well, maybe your sister just loved your father more. I walked out because I was like, I don't think there's a way to measure love in any way. And two, like, that's not something you say to a 14-year-old. Especially, like, not, it was definitely not easy on my sister, but my sister's 4 years older than me. So, I'm very much a child, so you're saying that to a child, comparison to an adult, and just doesn't feel right. So, and then I had a really hard time finding other therapists that I could afford if I wasn't going to her, because there wasn't any other firms and stuff like that. And two, when you have to, like, find a therapist that works for you, like, it might not always be a perfect match the first time. That's the thing, like, and sometimes you don't even have those options, and you can't even afford to, like, try different options. So my mom had, like, made a deal with, like, a clinic or, like, an actual therapist's office, and I went and met him, and they had, like, a payment plan, and they, like, made it cheaper because she, like, acknowledged it. And he was, like, so perfect. Like, number one, I didn't think I would want a male counselor because I typically don't feel comfortable around males. Maybe because my dad died, maybe because of other reasons, but I just don't, like, feel as comfortable. Like, I've been growing up with my single mom and stuff like that. So, and my sister. I have no brothers. So I just feel very powerful around females and not so powerful around men. But he was so nice, and he did very good. And I went for him all throughout high school. And even when I was in college, he had emailed me a couple times to check up on me. Even though, like, when we parted, we agreed that I had a good hold on everything and that I should be okay. But he just wanted to check up and see how I was doing, and that was free. Like, he was like, if you want to email me at any time, like, I'm here. Which, like, I don't feel like everybody gets a chance to find. And I know that, like, my sister, like, didn't think that he was a match for her and, like, stuff like that, because, like, they, it's just a person thing. You have to be able to open up to them, and if you can't open up to them, it doesn't work. And if they say dumb things, it doesn't work.
The mental health system in this country is fucking the worst. Well, you know, to toxic masculinity everywhere.
And I feel like they don't take you seriously. Like, you go to check yourself in on the third floor, and they're like, well, you're not that serious, else you wouldn't be checking yourself in on the third floor. It's like, well, do I have to jump off the bridge and break my legs to get put on the third floor then? Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't be injured or already taking my life for you to acknowledge that I'm very serious.
Which is, like, where most people want you to be before you, like, check yourself into the mental hospital.
It's like, why do you have to hit your rock bottom to get help? Like, you know you're sinking. Why don't people throw you, like, a life vest instead of waiting for you to hit the bottom and being like, oops?
Yeah. Well, it's like, you haven't seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, have you?
No.
Then I'm not gonna say, because I want you to watch it so badly. But, like, there's a lot of, it's, overall, it's a story about a woman struggling with her mental health. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it hit me so hard because I, like, resonated with it. Like, I had been at those points, and, like, mm-hmm. I've seen people at those points, and, like, it just gives you very much, like, there's, like, a musical comedy, so obviously, like, there's a lot of comedy and stuff
mm-hmm.
mixed in there, but, like, there's some scenes that are just so dark. Like, there's one episode in particular that was rated TV mature specifically because it was so dark mm-hmm. and heavy. Like, the rest of the series, I'm pretty sure, is rated, like, TV 14.
Yeah.
But, like, that one specific episode.
I like shows, though, that can talk mm-hmm. about serious subjects. Like, I love, like, a sitcom where I laugh most of the time, but when they do a serious episode, I bawl my eyes out. Because it's, like, I think that's the best way to deal with trauma and relate with things is laugh, mm-hmm. and then also, like, also talk about it seriously. So I think it's, like, a good combination to be, like, we relate and we know these, we can make these jokes because we understand, not because we're mocking you or making fun of you.
Well, like, my oldest brother is always like, they don't take these superheroes too seriously. And I'm like, they don't take these superheroes seriously enough. And I'm like, I like them because they don't take the superheroes seriously. Like, I don't need another Batman going, I am the darkness. Like,
yeah, I don't that sounded more like Bane, but. Just some of the time.
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Like, that's a pretentious line.
Yeah, I love it, though. I love it, though. I use it so much in my everyday life.
But, like...
Me, when I accidentally put, like, my mozzarella sticks in the cooker too long. Or, like... But, like... It's a good line, but I think it's funnier when you use it in non-serious situations than when you actually...
It really is.
It's like, ironically funny.
Because irony is the coolest form of comedy.
Exactly. I just think that also, like, when people... It's okay to laugh and stuff, and you know that they relate to you, because people who don't relate wouldn't find it funny, or wouldn't be able to mm-hmm. come up with that joke. So it's kind yeah. of, like, it's not a weird, like, mocking one. And then there's also that thing, like, with mental illness is that isolates you, is you... don't think anybody feels the way that you do, and maybe nobody feels the exact same way you do, but there is someone who feels very, very close to the way you feel. Like, you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I know it feels like that because you just don't know them and you can't talk to them, but it doesn't make it any easier at all. But you aren't alone, and for people who maybe aren't experiencing it or do experience it but are feeling grumpy and want to be mean to people in their real life, I think that it's important to realize that other people are going through something. Everybody has their own life, so even if you're taking a second to mock somebody, that can be what pushes them over the edge. Or if you're I don't think, like, obviously in your example you've been pushed to the edge by that friend many times,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you never know what could be somebody's edge. And not that you always have to be afraid or feel responsible for everybody's lives and emotions, but you should be considerate, because
yeah,
there's just, like, you never know what's going on. I remember, like, I've never personally really been bullied, and I know, like, it's a weird thing to say, like, a lot of people have horrible traumatic experiences getting bullied, so I do feel very lucky that mm-hmm. I never have one memory of me getting bullied, and unless this falls under it, so please tell me, because, like, I never thought about being bullied, I just thought it was a bad circumstance at a time. I was at this thing, it's called Relay for Life. For those who don't know what it is, it's like a marathon, yes. and it's for cancer, and you walk it all, you have to, like, go in teams, and you have to walk all night to raise money to donate to cancer. And so I'm there with my high school, and I'm doing it, and it's supposed to be, like, mm-hmm. for everybody, it's really fun experience. So there's everybody from my high school, and these boys are kind of bored, and they're like, it would be fun to see, like, two girls fight. So they were like, I'm just gonna make up a name. Like, so my name's Courtney, I'll be Courtney, and the other person will be... Molly.
My name's Courtney, I'm gonna be Roger now.
Just feeling it. So they were like, hey, Courtney and Molly, you should fight. And I was like, no, I don't want to. And Molly was kind of wanting to be cool for the boys, and she's like, I'd fight. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to fight, because I'm, like, here for a reason. I'm like, well, you're like, but mm-hmm. you can take breaks. So like someone else on my team is walking and they're like, no, fight, it'd be cool. And I was like, no, I don't want to fight. So then I walked away and didn't hang out with them anymore. So it wasn't really bullying. I was just like, I'm not going to fight to like entertain boys. And I don't want to try to be cool. I don't want to be one of the boys.
Yeah.
And so I never like considered that like bullying and stuff like that, but it did stay in my head for like, it still stays in my head obviously to this day, like it happened in grade 9 and I still remember it very clearly mm-hmm. because what they didn't know was, number one, I was walking Relay for Life for my dad, who actually, like, I when I signed up for it, I was walking for it because he was alive, but he actually died that like the Tuesday before, so I was very much walking it in memory of my dad. So that night it was like from like, was it 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. or whatever. That Saturday, so that was Friday night that I was walking it. That Saturday was my dad's funeral, and that Sunday was Father's Day. So they were very much like,
oh God,
pushed me like at a point to like where I was very upset, but not directly because of them. Like, who cares? Like, I don't want to mm-hmm. fight. But like, to them, like they had like they had no idea that they were like pushing me past my like capacity to like hold emotion. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a very much like a big. And, like, I obviously, like, I've still talked to the girl. Like, I've never held it against her. But that's always associated with her, like, whenever I see her. And, like, she has no idea because I never told her. Because we're not friends. Like, we're just, like, acquaintances.
Yeah.
Like, we've worked on some school projects before, but I've never, ever, like, told her. But, like, to this day, whenever I hear a name, that's all I think about. And the boys, too. But, like, they don't really matter as much.
Boys ain't yeah, shit.
I don't really see them and I don't really think about them.
Just remember, men ain't shit almost ever. There are exceptions, and two of them are the men we're both in relationships with. But
also remember that men for the have most part. Mental health issues too. Like, it's very much true. Real. They have feelings, they have emotions, and I always like joke and say I'm so glad I'm with someone who's emotionally stable, but like it would be okay if he wasn't, because I would be there to support mm-hmm. him, and he's still allowed to have breakdowns and he's still allowed to feel whatever he's feeling. It doesn't make yes. him any less masculine or anything like that. It just makes him human.
We have zero room for toxic masculinity in our lives.
Just because a guy maybe says that he's not feeling these things doesn't mean that's 100% true. They just mm-hmm. aren't as open sometimes because it's really hard for them because of the way the world looks at them. They might not yes. recognize those feelings as depression or anxiety or mm-hmm. anything else because they've always been taught to ignore mental health, but it's very important for them to have, like, girls are like, we have to have, a self-care day. It's important for guys to have self-care days, too. So whether that's mm-hmm. ignoring everybody and playing the PS4 or going to the gym or whatever, like, they're allowed to have that.
They're even allowed to ignore us, but they have to let us know why they're ignoring us. Otherwise, we falter.
Yeah, they have to say, hey, I'm having a bad mental health moment. I'm going to need some time to myself. It's nothing to do with you. And then I'll be okay.
Otherwise, I'll be like...
Because that's what I would do, too, like, out of respect. If I'm not answering somebody's phone mm-hmm. calls, I don't want them to worry for my safety. Like, I'm letting them know that I'm upset or yes. I'm tired and I'm just going to sleep all day. Whatever I need to heal myself, yes. I'm doing, which is fine. But it's also important to respect other people's mental health. So if you know, it might be annoying that your girlfriend has abandonment issues or your boyfriend has abandonment issues or whatever. There's a difference between mm-hmm. that and being controlling, just so we know. But it's always nice to let them mm-hmm. know. So, like, for some people, when you get ignored, like, you think you've done something wrong, whether that's something, like, you've learned from your parents or past friendships, and it begins, mm-hmm. you begin to spiral.
Yes.
It happens. But there's ways that you guys can cope with on it and work on it together versus apart. And, like, I think mental health is a really tricky thing in a relationship because you kind of want to hide it at the beginning. Like, you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But, like, you obviously don't think that someone wants to be with someone who's, like, mentally not always perfect. But that's the reality of things. And, like, I remember, like, the first time I had, like, an anxiety attack, in front of my boyfriend, I don't even know if we were officially dating or if we were just like boyfriend and girlfriend mm-hmm. or if we were just dating, but I woke up and I looked at him and I was like, I think I'm having an anxiety attack. And I started to panic and stuff like that, and I was like, I just need to call in to work sick. Like, I'm not gonna like feel better. Like, this isn't enough time, like something was happening in my personal life and it was adding up. And then he was like, mm-hmm. I was like, you can just go to work. And then he was like, well, I'm gonna call in sick to work too, because like I can't leave that, like, knowing that you're like this. So then he stayed home with me all day.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we then worked together and we can never have that again, because people will assume that we're just like having a sick day because we want to stay home. So that worked in our favor at the time, but now that is not possible. But he's pretty good, like, he knows now, versus like when I'm kind of just upset, or like when I 100% like need him to like be there mm-hmm. for me. Even if he needed some guidance to get there, because they don't know, like, they don't. And I'm pretty good at reading when he needs
yeah.
space.
I have broke down probably 3 or 4 times the first few weeks of dating my boyfriend, mm-hmm. Because I have issues where I think people don't actually want to be around me and I'm just annoying as hell. It's something I'm working on. I also think I'm hot shit, though, so it's, like, a weird combination.
I know, I'm, like, so, like, that's like, why I'm, like, am I just delusional? Because, like, I am, like, I feel very confident in who I am, and then I feel very insecure at the same time. And then I'm, like, I don't, am I making this stuff up? Like, or is it, like, fake it till you make it? So, like, you, I don't know what it is. Like, it's weird, but I get you.
I literally would be like, I am like the cutest motherfucker here. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And then like 5 seconds later, I'll be like, oh, okay, but like, I don't look good though.
Why do I look like this?
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, I'm so funny. And then I'm like, why did you even say that? You're so fucking annoying.
Exactly. This is why we're best friends. You just
you
get
know,
me.
It happens. I'm alpha. You got these things from me. I'm so sorry.
How dare you? How dare we bond over Wattpad fanfiction in eighth grade for me?
I think it's like crazy though too. Is like, I don't know how people before like the internet dealt with mental health issues, because I feel like it's so much mm-hmm. easier to open up to your internet friends up on that subject. And I'd never had internet friends before. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys were my first set of internet friends. And I'm, like, very...
You took your internet friend virginity. Yeah,
that's why we have the special bond.
We popped your internet cherry.
Oh, God. Sure.
Sorry, go on.
No. I just think it's,
that
like...
That joke was horrible.
I just think it's nice that people do have that. So if you are in a small town where everybody knows everybody, or has a... like conservative mm-hmm. views or something. Conservative views politically, not sexually, or maybe sexually.
Not sexually.
Whatever their conservative views are. Just kidding. Or if they just have a view, so you don't feel comfortable, or you like want to test the waters, you have internet friends to do that with, because like it's a lot easier to open up to them.
Yeah, it's like, it's partially, especially, like, at first when you're hiding behind a username, it's so much easier to, like, open up that mm-hmm. way.
But we should always be truthful. We should never use that username to bully or to lie or to catfish.
Yes.
Like, those things are very harmful to people's mental health, because the thing is the person on the other side is a human being, and if you're forming a connection, you could be the person that's, like, essentially, like, that they've put that connection to. So if you're lying or your intentions are bad with them, mm-hmm. like you just want to hurt them or embarrass them after it, like really think about that, because especially now the day age of like online friendships, like people are probably mm-hmm. like they could be reaching out for the chance to make a friend, like they don't have many friends or whatever, and then you pretend to be their friend only mm-hmm. to bully them or something like that. It's not very cool. Or like to catfish them. Like catfish makes me cry mm-hmm. a lot when I watch the show, because it just makes me so sad that people form these connections and then the person isn't who they said they were. Or even worse, like they are who they are, so cute, whatever, they're cute, but they have false intentions. So like they show up and it is the person, but then they're like, well, I actually never meant anything that I said. So it's even worse.
Yeah, it's just, make sure you're truthful online. Make sure you're wary online too of people. That MILF in your DMs who wants to send you nudes probably isn't real.
Yeah. I think some, like, things that I noticed that is, like, really, like, on catfish anyways, I know this is not really on topic of things that you can tell that if, like, someone's a catfish, is there's, mm-hmm. it's really hard because we all have traumatizing lives, but a catfish will have the most traumatic life. So, at first, they'll mm-hmm. tell you one sad thing, and that's fine. We all have sad backstories. We all probably have 5 really sad stories. like extremely sad stories. But you'll notice that their first one, and then you'll tell them yours, and then they'll have that one. And then your friend will have one, and they'll have one worse than that one. So they need anybody that you know and in your circle, they'll have that and worse. And also, none of the stories will make sense. So, because it'll get very, like, hair crossed. So you could have potentially, like, a real person could have those 10 really sad stories, but they wouldn't get their hairs crossed because they're speaking off truth and not, like, they've never experienced it. So it's, you know, it sounds false.
Yeah.
And two, just, like, profile pictures and stuff like that as well. I think it's definitely in this age of time. I know you don't want to talk to somebody on video camera right away, and that can still be dangerous. But after a while, a verification of video is always nice. And if someone says that they don't have it, it's 2020. Like, I really don't know how they could not have it, but I'm pretty sure, like, I don't even know, like, there's probably a way to publicly access a webcam. Like, I don't know. Because I say that, but then I know that, like, until I bought my mom an iPad, she wouldn't have had a way to. So, I don't, like, my mom doesn't have an a smartphone. So there are people that don't have smartphones and don't have laptops and stuff. But I feel like there's other public ways to make sure that they aren't. But the thing is with catfishes, I know it's really off topic, if they have time to take all those really pretty pictures, they definitely have a camera. Or have a friend who have a camera so they can show you their face with their friends when their friend's over. Okay, solved it. Next question. I love how I just like went into a whole tangent about worrying about how to like know if someone's a catfish or broke, because it's like it's hard because a lot of broke people would probably get called over being catfishes. And I do personally know a lot of people that don't have access to stuff like that, but at the same time, like, it's 2020.
Well, like, it could be just like you, where my mom still thinks you're a catfish, even though we've FaceTimed multiple times. We talk voice chat all the time. We have exchanged pictures with each other multiple times. Like, unless you have a model on call at every moment to take your place, I don't think that you're catfishing me at this point. And, like, my entire
family. Everything. I just have an entire cast. That'd be a good horror movie, though. Like, if there's a really rich person that just has that time and access to that. And they just tell all those other people that it's a movie that they're filming, but the other person thinks, oh, that's scary. I don't honestly don't want to think about it.
This is how Courtney reveals her devious plot to me all like, along.
I'm actually a rich billionaire. Just kidding. I know when I was making friends online, I was very weary, but I was more weary that they weren't actually going to be my friends. Like, I just wanted friends, I guess, at the time. Because I didn't want to worry my friends in real life about me at the moment, and I didn't think they would understand.
And you wanted just more readers?
Yeah, I needed to form friendships to force them to read my fanfiction so I could be in the top 10 One Direction fanfictions on Wattpad. It had that happen.
The top 10 One Direction fanfictions under She.
Oh my god. Yeah, so I used to write, like, One Direction fanfiction, if you haven't guessed it by now, and I recently logged onto my Wattpad just to see what was happening, and when we used to be on it, like, years ago, you would be, like, if you were if your story, like, got some traction, you'd be top 10 under fanfiction, or, like, teen fiction, or something like that, but they didn't have, like, hashtags or, like, words categories to have it under, and when I logged on, it was like, you're number one in the category she. I was like, what? Number one, still got it. Woo! But number two, why is that a category? And like, if you do ever go check out our fan fictions, just remember that we were young when we wrote them, and I am a terrible writer, and I was just pumping out content that I feel no passion about because I thought views were validation.
I'm not going to be dropping my Wattpad story names or anything like that, because they are shit.
I'm gonna blur out when she said mine.
Just beep.
Yeah, I just go, I don't even know how to do it, so it's just me voicing over. Beep.
Yes, beautiful. I love it. But yeah, remember, mental health is an issue a lot of people are dealing with. You don't know what other people are dealing with, so just try to be kind. You know,
as Harry Styles would say, immortal words
of Harry Styles, treat people with kindness.
Exactly, exactly. And if you do feel like you don't have anybody to reach out to, you do have us. So you can DM us on our Instagram if you need someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Our Instagram is at My Favorite Neighbor Podcast, spelled the American way. We have tons of stuff over there, mostly just where you can find like our episodes and stuff, our previous posts, our link trees and our bio. So wherever we post and stuff like that's in there. Also, Black Lives Matter. Mental health matters. So does Black Lives, especially Black Lives Mental Health. So there's lots of petitions, stuff like that, information, textbooks for you guys to learn, anything pretty much under that subject. And then at the very bottom of our link tree, it's the least important, but we're passionate about it, is our viewer donation button. So if you want to support us, you can click and give our podcast a donation. We're doing this all for free, you know? But it's okay. We love you guys nonetheless. You don't have to. Don't feel pressure. But yeah, that's all over there on our Instagram. And yeah, we just appreciate you guys, and we want to make sure your mental health is okay, because it's getting to be that seasonal depression. It's the holidays. The election was putting a lot of stress on everybody. And although it is a time to celebrate, we just want to make sure that everybody's okay, because there's still lots going on in everybody's lives.
Yes.
But yeah, we love you guys.
Second quarantine wave probably hitting soon, so we want to check in on you guys for that, too.
Yeah, quarantine's been pretty rough on everybody, so we just want to make sure. Like, because a lot of people, if they're feeling down, like, one of the things is, oh, I'll go out to a restaurant and eat, or, like, you might go out with your friends, but now it's very limited, and you might not even be able to see your friends, so it's hard. But yeah, we'll be here for you, so please reach out if you need it, okay?
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in, lovelies.